This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
It is not an uncommon occurrence for someone to call me or to see me somewhere and say, Brother Lambert, I've got a question I want to ask you. And I said, well, if I can, I will answer it, and if I cannot, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we're asked questions that we don't have the answer to. My grandson, Caleb, was going with my son, Todd, from Mobile to Huntsville. And Caleb was quite young at that time, and boy, could he ask the questions. And he asked one question right after the other. And finally, my son asked him, would you please not ask any more questions for a little while? Well, sometimes we have questions that we'd like the answer to. Today, we're going to be talking about, got questions? Do you have questions? Ask God. Please stay tuned as we discuss that today. I believe there's a biblical answer to the important questions of life. So please stay tuned. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We're delighted to have you with us today. And we want you to stay tuned so that you can learn about a free Bible correspondence course. And I know when some preacher on television says something is free, you always have a question in your mind whether or not it is. Well, it is, because we give these free. We don't charge you. We're not going to call you and ask you for a donation. We give these away, and we want you to know more about the course and how you can receive it. So we're going to take a brief pause at this time.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
When I was in school, there was one thing I was always hesitant to do. Ask questions. You know, let me tell you the reason I was hesitant to ask questions. I thought that, first of all, the teacher would think that it was a silly question. And number two, I thought the students, my fellow classmates, probably would laugh at me for asking it. So as a result, I didn't ask many questions. But number three, I soon learned that if I didn't ask the question to which I needed an answer, someone else would. So most all of my questions got answered without me asking for it. But sometimes people have questions in life, and people ask all kinds of questions. And they ask Bible questions. And they want to know, what is the answer to this question? Almost weekly, someone will either call me or see me somewhere and ask me a Bible question. Well, I always recommend them to do one thing, and that is to go to certain places in the Bible where they'll find the answer. You see, I believe if there are questions that we have, there is a place to go. Ask God. Ask God. In Judges, the 18th chapter, there were five men who came to the house of a man by the name of Micah. Now, Micah had a Levite living with him, and these five men who were travelers, heard this Levite's voice, and they recognized him as being a man of God. And so they asked him some advice about the way they would go. And he told them in verse number 5, ask counsel, this is what they ask in verse 5, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. They said, what we want you to do, since you're a man of God, we want you to ask God whether or not our journey is going to be a good one. And then he came back and the very next verse said, you go on because it's going to be a good journey. Well, I think today if we have questions, the very place we ought to go is to ask God. The first place a lot of people want to go is to maybe to their preacher. Well, does your preacher know it all? Absolutely not. Why do we want to ask God? I think there are a lot of reasons that we ask God the answer to the Bible questions that we have. Number one is because God is wiser than us. He is all wise. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, the prophet said this about God, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, and my ways and your ways. So God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is high, as far above us as the heaven is from the earth. So God is so much wiser than we are. No one wants to be considered a foolish person, but we are only way we can ever be a wise person in the sight of God is to go back to the Bible. That's what Jesus taught in the 7th chapter of Matthew, incidentally, when he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that is God's word, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. So a man is wise who will listen to God because God has the answer. And we need to ask God to help us answer the questions because God made us. God made my brain. He made my limbs. He made my heart. He made me. And I am made in the image of God. That's a spiritual image of God. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And so God created man out of the dust of the ground. Genesis 2, verse 7. God made man. It is in God that we live and move and have our being. Can you think of a reason that we would not want to ask God? Another reason I suggest we ask God to answer the questions is because of His power. In the Old Testament especially, He is described with this word, Almighty. Almighty. He is the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. He is an omnipotent God, which means He has all power. But we ought to ask God to answer to our questions because God is everywhere. He is an omnipresent God. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good, Proverbs 15:3. So God is everywhere. God sees it all. The fact is no one is omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent. But God is. And because we serve a God like that, we need to ask God the answer to our questions. And then we need to ask God, here's the reason, because He knows the answer. He knows the answer. Did you have a book in school that had the text here? Maybe it was a history book. And then in the back of the book, there were answers to questions that were at the end of each one of those chapters in the first part of the book. I remember books like that. You study chapter 1, there were questions at the end of that chapter. And then if you turn to the back of the book, why, there are the answers to those questions. Well, God doesn't have to turn to the back of the book because God wrote the book. You see, God knows the answers. He has the answers to anything that we ask Him. Any question that might arise, God can answer that question. Because God is God. He is a God of heaven and He is a God of earth. He's a God who knows man inside and out. Oh Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. You know my down sitting, my uprising, and You understand my thought afar off. You see, ask God to answer your Bible question because God knows it all. And then we need to ask God to answer the Bible questions because one day we're going to answer to Him in the judgment for what we have done with the Bible. That's the answer book. You got questions? We have an answer book. This book contains the answer to our questions. Now, we have thought about some questions in the past, but I want to raise one today that I believe we need to think about, and we're going to ask God, we're going to ask His counsel for the answer to this question. How are men drawn to Jesus? How are men drawn to Christ? You know, Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So the question is, how are men drawn to Christ? Now, if we were to ask certain religious teachers today the answer to that question, they would say, well, if you have some form of some subjective experience, something that's better felt than told, some feeling that comes over you, you see a cloud in the sky and you think that's your sign that you've been drawn to Jesus, or you find a penny on the ground and it has the name of God on it, and in fact it does. It has the name of God on it. That's the reason you ought to pick up every penny you see, because it has the name of God on it. It ought not to be left in the dust of the ground. But you think, well, that's a sign that I'm being drawn to Jesus. Well, is that the case? Is that how men are drawn to Christ? How, in fact, are men drawn to Jesus Christ? Well, I want you to, let's ask God, and we get the answer by turning over to John, the 6th chapter, and we're going to read now verses 44 and 45. This is in your Bible, and this is God's answer to the question, how are men drawn to Christ? Listen to it. Verse 44, first of all, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." So you have to be drawn to Christ. Now, and he says, "And I will raise him up at the last day." So no man can come to me unless he's drawn of God. Now, verse 45. How are we drawn to Christ? "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." Taught of God. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me." Now, God's answer then, the way men are drawn to Christ is through teaching. You have to hear the Word of God, and you have to believe the Word of God. You're drawn to Christ through teaching. That's the reason over in Romans, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about this in starting in verse 13, when he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now let's think about that passage for a minute. People call on the name of the Lord. That is, they call on the authority of Jesus Christ. They're drawn to Christ through teaching. But how can they call on Him and believe on Him and obey Him on something never heard? And how are they going to hear unless somebody goes and preaches or teaches to them? And in verse 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written," and this is a quotation from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord hath believed our report." Now verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing." Hearing what? Hearing the word. You cannot be a believer without hearing the gospel. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. That's verse number 17.
how men drawn to Christ. It's not through some experience they have. It's not through some preacher coming and putting his hands on their head and pushing them backward. It's not by them running around in a building where people are jumping up and down and saying all kinds of things all at the same time. It sounds, as the late Gus Nichols used to say, like a bunch of frogs in a mill pond. And so how are men drawn to Christ? Number one, God does it. It's God's business. Number two, they're drawn to Christ by teaching. And they're drawn by listening to the teaching, by believing what they're taught. And when they believe what they're taught from the Word of God, it produces faith in their hearts. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. The reason I believe in God is because I've studied the Bible and I've learned that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The reason I believe in Jesus Christ is because I read about Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four books that give the life of Jesus Christ. I read about Christ in the Bible. And so you have to study the Bible to learn about Jesus Christ. And we are drawn to Jesus Christ. There is power to draw us. And the power is not in a preacher. The power is not in some church program. The power is not in the music that might be played on instruments. The power is not in signs that may be hung around in a church building. The power is in the gospel. Listen to the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, that is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, both to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Jews had the gospel preached to them first on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. If you'd take your Bible and turn over to Acts chapter 2, we'll see how these people were drawn to Christ. The Apostle Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost, and when they heard the sermon that he preached, if you look in verses 22, 23, 24, he preached the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus. You men of Israel, hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So he's talking about the death of Jesus Christ, whom God hath raised up. Well, He could not raise Him up unless He had first been buried. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. Here's Peter preaching to Jewish people, and he's preaching Jesus. He said, you killed Him, but God raised His Son from the dead. Now notice verse 36. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now they realize they crucified the promised Messiah. And that's exactly what happened. We might deny it today. We may say that the Messiah has not yet come. But the fact is, He has come. He did come. And they could not deny the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that He performed. They had seen them, and they could not deny it. That's just like Nicodemus when he said, we know your teacher come from God. No man can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. John chapter 3 and verse 2. And so they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, what shall we do? We want to know, Peter, what must we do to be saved? We believe now. So here's what he answered. This is his answer in verse 38. Now I want you to notice what he says. This is not what some preachers would tell you today. They'd tell you, well, you just repeat after me this little prayer and accept Him in your heart. But here's the way they were drawn to Christ in the Bible. This is God's answer. This is not Billy's answer. This is not anybody else's answer. This is God's answer. repent. And if anybody ever needed to repent, surely it was the people who crucified Jesus, and be baptized. Baptism is a burial in water. It is a burial. Baptizo is the word that means immersed, to dip, to plunge, and it's been transliterated into the English language. Baptize, baptize, repent and be baptized. Well, Peter, how many of us? Every one of you, no exceptions. For what, by whose authority? Who gives the authority for us to be repent and be baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ. If you do things in my name, you do it by my authority. I give you the right to do it by the authority of Jesus. And it was by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, we're to go teach and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, why then, Peter, are we to be baptized? We realize we're sinners. Well, you're to be baptized not because you're already saved, but for the remission of sins. For the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so here were people that asked, how would these people are being drawn to Jesus through the teaching of the Apostle Peter? He's preached the gospel to them, which is the power of God to save. And they're being drawn closer and closer to Jesus, to the point they ask, what shall we do? What must we do? And as believers, penitent believers in Jesus, they're told they needed to repent of their sins, turn away from their sins, die to the willful and deliberate practice of sin in their lives, and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And when you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you come in contact with that blood that was shed for the remission of sins. Listen to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Somebody says, but I heard my preacher say that for remission of sins means because of remission of sins. It means the same thing in English as it does in the Greek language. And in Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus died that we might be saved. In Acts 2:38, we're to repent and be baptized that we might be saved by that blood that Jesus shed. That's how we come in contact, to have our sins washed away. Acts 22:16, why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. So how are men drawn to Christ? I submit to you that men are drawn to Christ through teaching. That's the reason Jesus said in the Great Commission, go you therefore and teach all nations. Well, what do you do after you teach all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. The end of the Christian age is what he had reference to. And so when we are to teach, Christianity is not a cult religion. Somebody says, I went down to this certain church building the other night and I got religion. No, that's not the way you become Christians. It's not caught like you catch the measles or the mumps or some other illness. Christianity is taught. And the way that we come to Christ is by being taught all the truth. That's why Paul told the elders of the Ephesian church, he'd not shun to declare unto them the whole counsel, all the counsel of God. You can preach some of the Bible, and it will be some of the truth. But we're to preach not some of the truth, But we're to preach all of the truth. Suppose I read, for example, Mark 16 and verse 16. And I read it like this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So suppose I said, well, you know, I don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved. So he doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. No. Folks, that would have been redundant. Because all an individual has to do to be lost is be an unbeliever. Our Lord taught that in John the 3rd chapter. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're already under condemnation by being an unbeliever. And believing is not sufficient. Why, we're told in James 2:19, even the devils believe and tremble. And so, you see, all you have to do to be lost is just not believe. In Mark 16:16, listen to me carefully. This is important. There are two conditions of salvation, faith in Christ and baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There is one condition of condemnation, and that's unbelief. And so we ask God, how are men drawn to Christ? They're drawn to Christ through the gospel that is the power of God to save, and it is important that we obey it. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture." Paul said, "I preached the gospel to you." That's the power of God, you see. You're saved by the gospel. I preached the death, burial, and resurrection to you. Well, how did those people, how were they drawn to Christ? What did they do to be saved? Well, we turn to the example of conversion of the Corinthians in the 18th chapter of Acts. And verse 8 explains how they were saved by the gospel. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, they heard the gospel, believed, they believed the gospel, and they were baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I want to thank you for watching today. We want you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my fervent prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214.